Tough Chicks, a discussion about gender in fantastic literature. This panel was recorded at SweCon 2015, Confuse, in Linköping, Sweden. The participants are Therese Norén, Anna Jakobsson Lund, John Henry Holmberg, Anna Blixt, and it was moderated by Susanne von Royen. Svekon-poddar, en poddradio från svenska science fiction- och fantasy-kongresser.
Chicks, and we're going to unpack that title just a little bit. But first, I'd like to have the panelists introduce themselves and say a little bit about why they're on this panel. Therese, let's start with you.
Okay. Therese Norén, and I've been discussing the Tiptree Award quite a bit in my fanzine, although it was a few years ago. So, taking an interest in gender in science fiction for a long time.
I'm John Henry Holmberg, I'm a Swedish fan and presumably science fiction expert nowadays. And I've taken an interest in gender in science fiction longer than you. I was one of the editors of the fanzine in the 70s, which published the first essay in Sweden, as far as I know, about how women were depicted in science fiction and why. A couple of years later, I even did a small book about it. And I've also edited, I think, the most gender-neutral science fiction magazine in the world so far, which had about over 40% women writers in its 20 issues. I also know some people who have personal experiences of science fiction. Nicola Griffith is a friend, for instance.
Okay, Anna?
My name is Anna Blixt. I'm writing a fantasy series currently. Two parts have been published, and the third is coming out by Christmas. And in the first two, I have female protagonists. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Anna Jakobsson Lund. And I'm marveling at how you get an idea for a great panel, and you just put it out there, and then all these people come together with experience far greater than your own. I think that is really great. I'm a writer. I have a science fiction dystopian novel out that one of my interests is turning gender roles. What happens if we leave this time and this place? How can we depict women and men in ways that make them more interesting and more alive, and maybe to appeal to more readers of all genders?
Okay, and my name is Susanne van Rooyen. I'm an author of mostly science fiction for young adults, and I'm quite involved in the push for diversity, specifically in young adult. And I'm genderqueer, so I'm looking at gender and gender representation in books quite critically. So that's why I'm here. We're going to kick off this panel discussion first and foremost with, what is your understanding of Tough Chick, and how do you feel about this title? Should we go the other way? Let's start with Anna.
Yeah. I think that an interesting development from the last 5-10 years maybe is this development of the tough chick, that you can see a lot of female protagonists being, it's like this new wave of female protagonists that are tougher and tougher. They're always carrying a lot of stereotypical male elements in their personality, and they often develop during the series or books and becoming more and more like a stereotypical male, this kick-ass hero that I think is, you can see as a new type of literature with some kind of a feminist idea, or you can just see it as the old stereotype packaged in another way. And I think that's interesting. You can sometimes you feel that there's so many books out there now that has a female as the protagonist that you think that this is going to change something, but I'm not sure it will. So I think the Tough Chick is an interesting character to kind of pull apart and see what happens and maybe go further.
I find it interesting when people create female protagonists that are not necessarily exclusively physically strong, but also that they are allowed to be mentally strong and to perform great things, maybe despite being weaker than their opponents. And I think maybe that some people tend to focus a bit much on the physical side of things and feel that women have to buff up and get muscles and start waving swords or whatever around, but there are other ways to be strong and tough, and it's always nice when those sides get a little bit of space as well. John?
I have no opposition to what anybody has said. I think the first tough chick in science fiction, at least in fairly modern science fiction, was Alex in Joanna Russ's Picnic in Paradise, published in 1968, I think, where a group of tourists to a horribly dangerous world were all of them saved by a tour guide who happened to be a girl. Joanna used the word girl back then. And this turned everything upside down in science fiction. I mean, nothing as dramatically different as this had ever been written, or at least not in the last 30 years. So the book was made a kind of revolution. But from that book, not only Joanna Russ, but also a number of other writers, most of them female, some male. Samuel Delaney was maybe the leading male one. Went on to write about other things that women could do, or that people who were of any gender or sexual inclination could do. So for a while in the 70s, there was quite a lot of excellent science fiction, which was truly radical in its depiction of gender and the roles of various people. Then it sort of ebbed out. Old hat, the cyberpunks turned up, and they had some very, very tough chicks, but the cyberpunk, I think, is sadly lacking in any discussion of gender at all, basically. I must say that I viewed the cyberpunk, short-lived cyberpunk movement, as basically a retelling of the youth revolution of the 1960s, only this time they won. It's notable that virtually all the cyberpunk authors were somewhere in their 20s in 1967-68. And after that, we basically had space opera making a great comeback, now with almost perhaps half the heroes being called female, but they act the same as the males do, and many of them are actually written, I noticed, by male authors, who perhaps have found out that science fiction nowadays has as large a female audience of readers as of males. Science fiction, of course, back in the day, was read only by teenage boys, and so all the heroes were always male. But nowadays this is not so they also have female heroes, or call them females.
Therese, something to add?
Not very much, other than that you can sometimes see a call for strong female characters, which is often reduced to physical strength, as you said. But a better call to arms would be for complex characters, to actually develop someone, to let someone be weak in a moment where it's where it gives complexity to the character. Mm. So that's kind of what I want to see in.
Isn't that really what we like about or love about Brienne in Game of Thrones? It isn't only that she is strong, it is also that she is weak and that she has all these insecurities about her life and how she looks and how others look upon her. Mm. And that she is allowed to be a whole person with both strengths and weaknesses.
If I can add my thoughts on this, is that when I first read Tough Chicks, the two people who immediately sprang to mind were Sarah Connor from Terminator and, of course, Ripley from Alien. And then I kind of thought about it a little bit more and I sort of took offense at the title of Tough Chicks because, A, chicks, I don't really like the title or the nickname. And secondly, that tough chicks, if we look at sort of the phenomenon of strong women, it seems to imply that women are not inherently or intrinsically strong unless we make them that way, which I sort of take issue with as well. So my next question here, and it's part of the program description, is that chicks often just act like men in a world with only male characters. But my question there is, what does a man act like? What do we assume as masculine traits or masculine-only traits that when they are given to women, we find something wrong with that? Let's go in the reverse order. Therese?
One interesting thing about the action chic, the strong woman, is that she is rarely allowed a romance. And when she is often made into a victim in one way or another. And that the whole being able to combine a taste for violence with an ability to love, that thing is, you can almost never see that written in women, which is the action guys, they can have a romantic relationship and still be fundamentally unchanged. But women in that role never get to be unchanged by romance. So that's one of the things that I reacted to.
Okay, John?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good point, I think. There's even a strong taboo for a long time about this. An excellent writer, Sonia Dorman, wrote in the magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction a long time ago, late 60s, I think, a series of novelettes about a female space police woman in the future who is in her mid-20s and has a number of romances. It's very sexually active, in fact, in the stories. They shouldn't turn this into a novel, but had to excise all the sex before she got it published. She then stopped writing science fiction, unfortunately. So there is a taboo against this. Women in science fiction have generally not been sexually active at all. Neither have males, actually, up until the 60s. But when women later on were depicted as active, as for instance in some of Heinlein's later novels, they usually had male brains, even concretely in, I believe, I Will Fear No Evil, an elderly billionaire going to die has his brain transplanted into the body of a very beautiful woman in her mid-20s and is then enormously sexually active. However, which is males having it both ways, of course. And this is allowed, whereas I've never seen the opposite done. So.
True. Anna?
Okay. I think I want to tell about... I was writing the next novel in the series, and I was writing a love scene, sort of, And it had the hero, as in a classic manner, sort of tossing the heroine down and going for it. And then I wondered, why are they acting like that? Why am I writing this? Because she is tougher than he is. She is the practical sort of butch one. Why is he doing this? And then I flipped it around, and she tosses him down, and she turns into the sort of more experienced character, and she takes command in this love situation. And that turned out to be a very refreshing dynamic for me to write. And I would have loved to have read more about that from other writers, because the reason that I started writing it in the classical way was sort of that I didn't question it. And that only came after I read my own scene, and I just thought, that's just so wrong. Why are they doing that?
And I think one of the reasons we talk about this, the toughness being a stereotypical male thing, is that both men and female, men and women in literature overall, but we keep it to science fiction maybe, are so strongly stereotypical in so many novels. It's like we use the creation part of our brains to come up with new worlds, new world systems, races, a lot of things. And then we just put in this idea of male and female just unchanged from the 50s. It's like, it's not even, I rarely see heroines that I can relate to. I'm not stereotypical anything. I'm kind of human, and I have my fair shares of, I can't navigate a car, but I'm the one in the family that drives it. So I have a lot of things that's stereotypical, the one or the other. And that is seldom done. And the male characters, I find that if you look at movies, don't even get me started on movies, because that's a whole different thing. Books is so much better. But if we look at books and the male characters, when we get this stronger, more physical female character, we get more and more stereotypical male characters that the woman can lean on. Because when she gets physically stronger and more taking more space, the guy, the love interest, gets to be always the mentor. Have you ever written? Of course, you have. There's one or two, but how many books have you read with a male hero meeting a female mentor going on the hero's journey? Not that many. And for the female, she never meets a female mentor. She meets a guy that she's supposed to fall in love with, that's the mentor. So that recipe, I think, is kind of polluting all the good things that happen with female heroes, because it makes this role so tight. You can't write it in any other way. It's like a modern Swedish woman writes the sex scene that way, because, and then she turns, yeah. And that's good. That's really good. But it's like it's in our brains. And I think the male role also is so narrow, and that must be extremely irritating for people with identifying themselves as males, not being able to identify with the hero. I can only imagine. And then genderqueer, don't get me started, because in mainstream media, it's the books, they're never heroes. And there's queers, but they're always the by characters, never mentors, never protagonists, seldom antagonists. So it's like you have to fit into these roles to be the main character of any kind.
Yeah, I would say that the comments about the romance is interesting, because I write young adult books and I tend to read mostly young adult books. And there it's kind of the opposite, because the romance is almost required by formula for a young adult novel. So even though you have these really kick-ass, quite physical characters like Katniss Everdeen or Triss from Divergent, they have to have a romance, and romance is part of their storyline and part of their development. Whether it's done well or not is a different question. But the fact is that in young adult, they're almost forced to have a romance by necessity of what the category demands. It's interesting that you bring up the genderqueer aspect, because in reading this description, it also kind of sets alarm bells off for me that this was examining it from a very gender binary perspective, in that we have woman characters and we have male characters, and we have woman characters assuming male traits, and why is that, but why not? Where do the trans characters or the gender fluid or the genderqueer characters fit into this? And I was wondering what you think about that, in terms of kind of this description where, you know, women are men in new packaging. Well, sometimes women are men in new packaging.
For those who don't know, I'm also genderqueer. So when my husband looked at the program and said, oh, so it's John Henry and four women? And I said, no, it's John Henry and presumably two women and two genderqueer people. So it's very, very easy to go from to interpret things from a binary perspective, even when you're fully aware that there's another perspective as well. So that's it's an easy trap to fall into, and we do it all the time. But yes, it's very binary. And I really don't know what to do about it.
John?
Yeah. No, the only thing you can do are write more other stories yourself, basically. Yeah. Science fiction has inherited a lot of some good things from its pulp tradition and a lot of ballast, which is still there. One, of course, is that science fiction is presumably a literature of ideas, which means that back when it was all short stories and monthly pulp magazines, there was no room to develop character of any kind, male or women or any other. And also no readers interested in that, because the typical reader was about 13 and a very geeky boy. And so the idea of actually having a character-driven science fiction story I don't think it developed at all until decades later. All the classics have no people in them. I mean, Isaac Asimov never wrote a believable human being of any kind. And he has no women anywhere.
Susan.
And when I said that, somebody always says Susan Calvin. But Susan Calvin is a robot called a woman. I mean, it's actually... I could add, however, if some of you don't know, that the currently most popular tough chick in the world, in world literature, was at least created by a science fiction fan, Lisbeth Salander.
Yes.
Stieg Larsson was a very active fan for decades, and wanted always to write a huge, wonderful, great, gender questioning science fiction novel, but never became satisfied with it. So after 20 years, he burnt that up and wrote these crime novels instead.
Anna, something to add?
I think that in science fiction, you have so many more options in this area than you have in fantasy. Because in fantasy, you must conform at least somewhat to the norms that of a medieval or historical world. And I can't really imagine that the tolerance was very high in those days for people who behaved very, very differently in regards to gender. I bet that the risk was high in the Dark Ages that people would simply burn you at the stakes. So in some way, I think that science fiction writers have a lot more possibilities to explore these subjects, and I hope that they do.
I think that is... I saw somewhere somebody, I think, at a big Swedish newspaper saying, just calling it the thing, this science fiction novels, all this, that you can invent a lot of things, but you never write about worlds with more than two sexes. Mm. And then I was a bit flabbergasted that, well, because it is, there is in real world. So what is science fiction should we be more obliged to write about this than people writing relationship novels? Because, well, there's more than two sexes in the world, so you don't have to invent it, you just have to write it. But Anna's right that the fantastic novels have possibilities to go beyond. Go beyond what is norm today and create something bigger and better. And I think that there are a lot of new movements, and I think that for the years to come we will see a lot of other stories, other characters, and the political aspect of it, just putting other characters in a novel that is about space exploration or about genetic engineering is a political statement in a way, that you make room for diversity in any form that it may come. And I think that that is something that will be more interesting for readers, and thereby also, I think, more interesting for writers for years to come. I myself could never... How boring to write this narrow character that everybody else has done already. It's like, it's hard to bring something new to the table when you haven't been around so long, you haven't read everything. It's like, how can I make something different? And it's kind of sad how little it takes, because I write in my current works, there's binary, there's only girls and boys, and I'm not turning them in many directions. It's like they're only a bit more human than they usually are in other books, and it gets attention. Mm. People are talking about the characters that are more human, they can relate to them, and it's kind of sad that it's like, I would have thought that we've come here 20 years ago. That this I couldn't get this attention from just writing the characters a little bit weaker and a little bit stronger in areas where you're not supposed to be weak and strong, depending on your sex. And I think that's marvelous for me, because I can write really interesting characters with just like putting in some human characters. But also, it's kind of sad that we haven't come further. But I think we will soon, and I think soon.
For sure. I would also say that a lot of the time, there isn't this amount of visibility for these kinds of genderqueer or in-between characters, or characters that sort of diverge from gender norms in mainstream science fiction and fantasy. But you can find an array of diverse characters if you're prepared to dig a little bit deeper, and especially like in the indie circuit. Where the publishers are able to take a few more risks and be a little bit bolder in what they publish. We're not going to talk about Hollywood at all, because that is like hours worth of criticism. And we're sort of running out of time here, so I will pose one more question to the panelists before we take questions and comments from the audience. And that is, who is your favorite character that you feel embodies these traits in a way that you think is positive representation that you would like to see more of? You got 15 seconds to think about it. Whoever would like to start, go for it.
Oh. Cordelia Vaux-Corsigan. Definitely.
From which work?
From Louis McMaster Bichold's Vaux-Corsigan novels. It's a fantastic character. Kind of butch by her adopted planet's ideals, perfectly normal in her own, on her own planet.
Hmm. Is she human?
She's human.
Just checking. John?
Names of characters. No, I won't do that because I won't remember them correctly. But I think some of the early novels of Tanith Lee were fabulous when I read them first.
Definitely.
Don't Bite the Sun, for instance, Drinking Sapphire Wine. And I'm very fond of Alan Kushner, who does also, I think, interesting things in fantasy. She has to make up another Renaissance than the one we had, but still.
I really love a work by C.S. Friedman called In Conquest Born. This is sort of a space opera that pitches two great empires against each other, with a male lead in the one and a female lead in the other one. And the female gets to be a really strong woman, and she does a bunch of really challenging physical tasks in order to gain the power that she needs to be at the head of her empire. And I am a very huge fan of how Friedman handled these characters and the balance between the two.
Being a young adult fan, you always find things in those characters, especially a bit into the story when they go love-driven. Always. No matter how you like them, until they get toss world, saving the world, I'm doing this because of this guy, if it's a female character. You always get disappointed. It's always at that point that you think, oh, couldn't she just have... The world needs saving, come on. But that is this difference between saving the world for its own reasons and saving the world because this guy wants me to save the world. It's like you can never go past that. But I like Bitter Blue from Kishore's trilogy. I like Katza. She's strong. She's tough. She's no bullshit. She doesn't go from this naive young woman that grows her thighs so big that she can't get her trousers to fit, like Triss. It takes her 10 days to build so much muscle, so she can't even get her own trousers to fit. That is just, I don't know. So I like Katza. She's strong and tough. But I like Bitter Blue because she's not that tough. She's actually kind of weak. There's a lot of secrets in her empire. She's this queen that wants to do something right, and she doesn't know, and people are lying to her, and she knows that this something has happened, and she's connected to this, and she takes a lot of political thinking. It's not like she's tough and fighting, she's thinking, she's a politician, and that I think is something rarely done with female characters in fantasy, so I like that. And then as I can remember, the love story is not that sugary and sweet and you will help me to save the world. It's like there's a love story, but it's not the end of her world if it won't go the way it's supposed to go. So I would say Bitter Blue.
Yeah, my example would also be from Young Adult by the author Maggie Stiefvater. She's written a werewolf trilogy, Mercy Falls, Shiver, and she's also written the standalone Scorpio Races and now the Raven Boy cycle, which is due for completion in February when the fourth book releases. And I would say all her female characters I really love for quite the same reason, that there are always love stories because she writes romance quite heavily into the novels, but never at the expense of logic or at the expense of the world goals, the bigger picture. And her female characters are very real in that they have attributes that are both typically male and female in a way that seems organic and authentic. And that these characters, when they are surrounded by boys, particularly in the Raven Boy cycle, it's literally four boys and this one girl, Blue, in this group, that she doesn't back down and that she's not painted into a corner that, you know, one girl with four boys around her, oh, silly, giggly, kind of ditzy, sort of, which it could easily have gone high school kids. Maggie Stiefvater, I think, writes really fantastic teenage girls in an authentic way. Right, we've got just over 10 minutes left to take audience comments and questions. Yes, is there a microphone for the audience?
I'm not sure.
I'll repeat the question.
Yeah. Okay, so something you haven't touched on is something I've noticed. It's that the tough chic stereotype is often... like, it's the chic. It's not an older female, and it's not a mother. Is that something you thought about or want to comment about, or what do you think that is?
Okay, so the question is that the tough chick is often a younger woman and not necessarily someone who's older or a mother. But my first rebuttal to that is Sarah Connor. Any other comments?
Ellen Ripley is also a mother.
Yes, she is. Any other comments about that? I think ageism is relevant there.
Yeah, I think that is a kind of a diversity that we see seldom even in guys. So I think that is something that should you can always add some years to a character, and there's a lot more backstory, there's a lot more natural complexity. So that's something that should be done more, because it calls for more interesting characters.
But then that's also a question of the audience you're trying to write for. Because if you're trying to reach a younger audience, then your protagonists are going to be maybe not the age your intended reader is, but not many years older anyway. Which is a shame, because as you said, it's very... Give them a few years and they'll become much more interesting as characters. And again, I recommend the first Vorkosigan books with Cordelia as the main character.
Can I jump in and just say that one of my favorite moments is from movies is in Willow, when Willow reaches this sorceress and transforms her. And she wakes up and she notices that she's been transformed so long that now she has turned into an old woman. But she is just like, oh well, screw it. Let's go defeat evil anyway.
And actually, if you go back to the time when there were few women writing science fiction in the early 50s and so on, actually, I think the one who had most strong women was probably Robert Heinlein back in those days. And some of his certainly toughest chicks were grandmothers in his juvenile novels.
Yes?
It feels like in fantasy and sci-fi, you almost never see like a younger man with an old woman. It's so rare. I mean, like, is there some place you can find that kind of fiction? Is there some other category? Or...
Okay, the question is that why in fantastic fiction do we never see a younger man with an older woman? And is there something we can find somewhere?
I don't know. I would like to know, because that this hero with the mentor, Dumbledore as a woman, it wouldn't be done. It's like somebody needs to do it and then somebody else needs to do it. And because that character, that's an undone character. And we always say we can't do it. Romeo and Juliet has already been done, so we need to do something new. And here's this whole category of a lot of characters that's never been written.
I think of one.
Yes.
From the Predine books, Lloyd Alexander, the wizard, his actual mentors are the witches in one of the short stories. I can't remember the name of the wizard now. anyone does? Talvia.
Okay, so we have one example. you've got another example.
What about Pulgara in Edding's books? Is she a relevant example, or is she just scenography?
She's a mother character.
Cool. Does that work out?
She's not a mentor, she's a mother figure.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. Unless you go to the book that's actually written from her perspective. I actually think Eddings does a good job of developing her.
Okay.
So that's probably one of his best works.
Next question.
You're saying, Susanne, that when you write young fiction, then there's almost it's supposed to be some romance there. And I was thinking about what about people, young people, that don't really care about romance? And don't get it or not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Why are there no young? And is there a literature for them as well?
Well, I think that the reason why this happens in teenage fiction is because of hormones, and it seems sort of typically natural for teenagers. Oh, sorry, I didn't repeat the question. Question is about why is there this need for romance in young adult novels, and why don't we cater to readers who don't have that need or don't understand the need? For example, aromantic or asexual characters. There is a push for that right now, by the way. There is a huge push from editors and publishers and agents looking specifically for asexual and aromantic characters. So I think it's coming. I think it's just been the natural binary tendency. Teenagers hit puberty, hormones, sex, and therefore you have to have a love story to sell books. But hopefully it's changing, and there are definitely readers. I've had teenage feedback in panels before that they don't want to see romance, or they want romance to be in the backseat. And if there are any more comments from young adult fans, writers, readers on the panel?
I actually put a stamp on my books that they are love triangle free. and it actually gets that reaction a whole lot. Actually, I have a lot of readers and people that are reviewing the books that are just saying no love triangles, and it's for the first book, and I've said guaranteed for the two next books no love triangles, and that also is something that always weakens the girl character when there's this silly love story between the good guy and the bad guy. It's like you do that once and then you don't do it anymore, because then somebody else did it just like 3 months ago. This book was out, and there's a love story with that she falls for this beautiful bad guy that turns out not to be the bad guy. It's done. Don't do it again. But now it's kind of into this area of young adult. It has to be this love triangle, and it has to be in this way. And I think that is something that readers are getting really sick of. And the Definitely. Asexual character is really an interesting way to go from that.
Any more questions? Yes.
What about the man with stereotypically female characteristics? Do you see that in science fiction and fantasy?
Okay, so we're looking now at male characters who have stereotypical female traits.
Only as villains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's profoundly transmisogynistic, but you only see those traits in villains.
Except, at least in English literature, maybe, but if you go to Japanese style and not just the anime and manga, you find a lot of other characters.
Oh, for sure. I mean, anime and manga deserves its own discussion, because they really sort of... So they are quite subversive in terms of storytelling compared to the traditional Western approaches, especially when it comes to gender, I think. Mm. Any other comments?
No, it's basically true. I mean, you can see some such tendencies sometimes in some of Samuel Delaney's work, I think. But that's about it, and then as far as I've seen.
There's always this tendency that you make this something to laugh about. That yes. you have this, if you have that kind of a character, it's not that he's caring or that he's smart, which are characteristics that are stereotypical female. Sorry, guys, but, well, it's like that he's somewhat feminine in this, like he's weak or something. And that is not, that's guys that get more feminine stereotypical traits get being to be this kind of a sidekick or something. That is something you're supposed to laugh at, and that is even worse.
Comedic relief.
Yeah, I think the tough chick is at least one step in the right direction, and the guy that cannot be anything else than this tough guy being the comic relief, that is, I think it's a step back. That every guy that reads this should write to the writer and say, you did this wrong, you should do this better next time. So guys, do that, please.
I would like to quickly mention Robin Hobb in this context, and the Live Ship series, where she has a character named Wintrow, and he was supposedly considered somewhat of a sissy by his father, so he was stuffed away in a convent, and later on he ends up on a pirate ship, and he takes a lot of softer qualities with him, and he remains sort of a kind and caring character throughout. And that's one example of a more female male character that is done really well.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question. Okay.
I actually probably more of a comment. From the comic book sides, in the original ElfQuest series, the characters of Redlands and Nightfall, where Redlands, the male character, was the carer and the one who nurtured plants and all that, and his partner, Nightfall, she was the huntress and who went out and fought. I think they have done that very well. Both these are good, strong characters, with sort of switched around characteristics. But
yeah, I would say The Giver is also an example of that, where the father is the one who works with the children and the babies in the nurturing center, and the mom is the one who's more politically driven. Okay, I think we have to stop there. If you have any more questions or comments for us, please feel free to find us after the panel. Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy the rest of the con.
Musiken av Psychedelic Pedestrian från Free Music Archive. Besök gärna vår hemsida på svekonpoddar.se.